Hello, everyone. Our reading today is from Luke 7, verses 36 to 50. And if you want to follow it, if you haven't got one of the sheets, you can look in the Pew Bible. It's in 1036. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learnt that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him, at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Oh, tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. And then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she has loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Rosamund. Do keep that passage open in front of you. If you don't have it open, please do turn it up. It's on page 1036. Let's pray before we think about this passage together. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight this morning. Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What difference do you think God's forgiveness makes to a person's life? What difference do you think God's forgiveness makes to a person's life? Do you think you can tell if a person has been forgiven or not? If so, how? Well, our passage from Luke's Gospel will help us answer these questions today. The setting is a dinner party. Jesus has accepted the invitation from a Pharisee called Simon. You remember that Pharisees were considered the good guys at the time. They were the good people of the day. They were the kind of religious elite. And this dinner party is a serious dinner party because the guests were reclining at the table, we're told in verse 36. And in those days, the tables were low and guests rested on couches around the table with an elbow on the table and then their feet extending out away from the table. Now, such occasions with major teaching figures were often open affairs, although food was only for the invited guests. Interested, uninvited observers were allowed to stand around the sides of the room and watch and listen in on the conversations. So there would have been a great deal of coming and going by onlookers as the meal took place. When during this meal a well-known sinful woman arrives, she enters because she's come to anoint Jesus' feet. We're not told what her sin has been. Traditionally, she's been viewed as a prostitute, but the text isn't specific. Regardless of what she's done, she has a reputation that precedes her. And if her presence among the onlookers alone would have been frowned on, what she does next is viewed as deeply shocking, because she approaches a reclining Jesus to anoint his feet with perfume from an alabaster jar. But overcome with emotion, tears start flowing down her cheeks and they drip like raindrops, causing streaks on Jesus' dusty, dirty feet. It was considered shameful for a woman to let her hair down in the presence of men. But with no towel to dry Jesus' hair, she ignores such normal constraints and unbinds her hair and uses it to wipe Jesus' feet dry. And then she proceeds to kiss Jesus' feet repeatedly, an intimacy that was shunned in the culture. And then she pours this perfume on his feet, and the aroma fills the room. So it's clear that she deeply loves Jesus. She cherishes him. She treasures him. Her flagrant devotion to Jesus is costly, it's humiliating, and it's unreserved. Well, verse 39 makes it clear how Simon felt. You can sense his disgust at her action. I mean, just touching a woman like this at the time would make a person unclean. Everything about her actions is offensive, except for the attitude that lay behind it. And it's this attitude that Jesus explains in his story to Simon, because he knows exactly what Simon is thinking. It's a simple story. It concerns two men who are in debt to a moneylender. One owes 500 denarii, slightly over 1.5 years' wages at the time, so a considerable sum. The other man owes 50 denarii, which is equivalent to about two months' wages at the time. So, you know, they both owe considerable amounts, one obviously more than the other. Their debt is different in size, but they both don't have the resources to repay their debts. They both are in a hopeless condition. And then comes the utterly crazy punchline in verse 42. You see, neither of them have the money to pay the moneylender back, so he slams them in prison. No. So he sends the bailiffs round. No. So he cancelled the debts of them both, we're told. I mean, that's nuts. No one does that. It's just an impossible outcome. I mean, when was the last time you heard of a moneylender just cancelling someone's debt? That just never happens. It's an impossible debt met with an impossible gift. Isn't that in itself the essence of the gospel? But Jesus doesn't stop there, because he asks Simon a question in verse 42. He says, now which of them will love him more? Well, Simon can do the maths, but he's not quite sure where Jesus' question is leading. So he says, sort of tentatively, well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled? And Jesus agrees. And then he goes on to apply the parable to Simon and the woman. You see, at the time, hosts of honoured guests were expected to show some common courtesies. Because of the dirty, dusty roads, it was custom to offer water for foot washing before reclining at the table to eat. It was normal for the host to place his hand on the guest's shoulder and give them a kiss on entry to the room. Similar to the way perhaps we sort of shake people's hands as they arrive, or perhaps give them a hug today. It was also common for guests to be anointed with oil, to have sort of a little drop of olive oil placed on their head as a sign of favour and honour too. But Simon offered no such kindness to Jesus as he entered his house. Look at verses 44 to 46 and just notice the complete contrast between Simon and Jesus that Jesus draws out. I came to your house. This is your house, Simon. But Jesus says three times, you did not do this for me, but this woman. You did not, but she. Jesus contrasts the deficient hospitality of Simon with the extravagant love of this sinful woman. Well, why such a contrast in the way they treated Jesus? We'll look carefully at verse 47. You see, the reason Simon and the sinful woman behave in such contrasting ways is down to their awareness of how much they've been forgiven. The woman loves much because she knows her many sins have been wiped away by Jesus. But Simon's failure to show Jesus the common courtesies of the day suggests he could be a total stranger to the forgiveness of sins altogether. Now, Jesus isn't saying that the woman's loving devotion has merited her forgiveness, because Jesus' parable makes that clear in the story. It's not love that leads to the forgiveness of the debt. It's the forgiveness of the debt that leads to love. And the cancelled debt of the woman's sins is what's caused her to love Jesus so much. Her love is the evidence of the forgiveness that she has already received. You see, she'd obviously met Jesus before or heard Jesus teach, and she'd put her trust in Jesus for forgiveness. She's put her faith in him. See that from verse 50. And then learning that Jesus was in town at Simon's place, she seeks him out so that she could show him just how much the forgiveness that he'd given her meant to her. You see, she knew the answer to the question that the others at the dinner were asking. Who is this who can forgive sins? Well, this woman knew. This woman knew that Jesus could forgive sins because he was God in human flesh. Because only God can forgive sins. And she knew him as her saviour, as Jesus' final words indicate. And unless we know Jesus as the one who saves us from our sins, our hearts will never be filled with love for him. Will be like Simon. Our hearts will be cold to him. But hearts that know they've been forgiven much, well, they will love Jesus a great deal indeed. So the question as we finish is this: how do you approach Jesus today? Do you approach him like Simon, or do you approach him like the sinful woman? The passage clearly urges us to come to Jesus like Simon. Sorry, like the sinful woman, not like Simon. is urging us to come to Jesus like the sinful woman. Let's think about her first of all. See, some of us know that we're like the sinful woman today. We're only too aware of our sins. And this morning's passage comes to us like sweet music to our ears, because Jesus is therefore interested in people like us. He has a place for people like us, sinners, around his table. And we're just blown away by his grace. His great love and kindness to us makes us want to serve him in humble ways. It makes us unconcerned about what other people think about us if we get excited about Jesus. We want to serve him in costly ways because we recognise that he's done more for us in cancelling our sins than we could ever, ever pay back. So that means there's nothing that we will withhold from him. Our love for Jesus will be unreserved and unashamed because we know, like the sinful woman, we've been forgiven much. Perhaps you identify with a sinful woman this morning. You approach Jesus with that kind of heart. But there'll be others amongst us this morning that will feel more like Simon. You know, we don't want to be like the Pharisee, do we? Because Pharisees in the Gospels always seem to get it wrong, time and time again. We don't want to be like Simon, but the reality is, perhaps some of us don't love Jesus like this woman because we don't feel his forgiveness very much. We come to church and we're perplexed by the stories like this about Jesus. We come to church and we're unmoved by the devotion and love language in the songs that we sing. We don't understand why some people seem to get so excited about Jesus, let alone spend time serving him. I mean, we've just got too much going on in our lives to do things like that. And so the reason our approach to Jesus is so cold is because we've never really tasted his forgiveness. I wonder which of the two characters best illustrates the way that you approach Jesus today. Is it Simon or the sinful woman? Jesus said she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. If we find ourselves cold to Jesus today, the answer isn't to go out and do some serious sinning to increase your sense of what Jesus has done for you so that you can love him more. No, instead we need to ask Jesus to expose how sinful we actually already are. Because Jesus' expose of Simon was actually loving to Simon. It was meant to reveal just how far his heart was from God. You see, he was so full of pride in himself, and yet so full of contempt for others, especially people like this sinful woman. He had no compassion for sinners. He had no idea that God might be interested in someone like her. You see, Simon was miles from God, and yet he had no idea. Simon was as lost in sin as this woman was. He just couldn't see it because of his religiosity and pride. But if he sat and reflected long and hard on his encounter with Jesus that day, I'm sure the debt of his sin would have begun to mount up before him, as would ours if we gave serious thought to our actions, our attitudes, our words, our thoughts, our desires, all in the light of Jesus and his word. Are we more like Simon or like the sinful woman today? Let's just take some time to reflect on our approach to Jesus. Do we love Jesus much or little? What does it say about our awareness of how much we've been forgiven? Father God, please minister your grace to our hearts today where we need it. Where we are called to you, may your Spirit do his work, convicting us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, such that we realize why we need Jesus as our Saviour. Increase the sense of our sin, that we may see it as you see it. That we may see why Jesus is so wonderful, so compassionate, so loving, so amazing to give his life that we might know our sins wiped away. Father, may we have hearts full of love, increase our love for Jesus, that we might show that unreserved, unashamed love for him, that others may see in our lives that Jesus matters to us more than anything. May our response to you today please you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.